This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
9:05 the time here on a Thursday.
Oh, Matt's, let's all get stretched out here.
We're getting stretched out here.
Matt Johnson leading the stretching. Oh, I just got a crack there.
You know you're not supposed to do that, right? You crack your neck, man?
Oh, you gotta crack your neck.
I don't like to crack anything.
I don't.
You don't like to crack
to
anything?
It has to be bad. Right.
There are a lot of studies that come out and say that if you crack your neck, it shortens your life by quite a bit.
No, and there's a lot that say you need to crack it to get the blood flowing in there that's backed up.
Go to somebody who knows how to do it, man.
Really?
Do you go to chiropractors?
Naturally.
No, I've never been to a chiropractor.
Really?
Oh, yes, I've gone a lot. But no, they teach you. That's one of the things is neck stretching exercises where you try to look down as far as you can, then look as far as you can up, and then tilt your head as far to one side as the other. Try to turn your head around like the girl in The Exorcist. You're supposed to do all those things, and then it helps you out.
I'm with Matt. It's got to be bad for you, man. It's in the right spot. I don't want to
take your fitness tips from me. This is where...
Chubby Jesus.
Chubby Jesus knows the way.
Matt Johnson, former guard for the UNC Bears, joining us. This segment presented by Mark Larson State Farm Insurance.
Going, I got up for this, man.
Yeah. I'm sure that's the first question you expected to hear this morning, wasn't it, Matt?
That's a good way to start the show.
I like it. I like it, man. What have you been up to? How are you adjusting to post basketball season?
I mean, I just took a week off to let my body recover, and now I'm kind of getting back into it. I actually signed with an agency just yesterday.
So. Congratulations, man.
Yeah, so...
What does that mean? And how did you go about that? I've always wondered about that whole process, Matt.
Basically, kind of what it means is, what an agent does for you is it kind of, they get your name out there to, professional teams, whether that's overseas and for a lot of, for some guys in college who play really well, the NBA and like in the G League and stuff like that. So, they kind of get your name out there and kind of basically just shop you around and kind of sell you and your accomplishments in college and, pretty much get you on a professional team. So help you get, they have those connections, so they help you get there. So.
Do you feel comfortable with the person you ended up with? Did you talk to a few people, or was this right away you knew this was a good fit?
I talked to a few people, but they were the ones that kind of they were very persistent and they were very adamant about me working with them, and I appreciated that. It kind of gave me the vibes that Coach Smiley gave me when he recruited me, just kind of believing in me, and I really appreciated that. So I felt really good about that, and also talking to my parents, they agreed that it gave them the same vibes and that it worked out for me with Coach Smiley in Northern Colorado. So I think that was the way to go. Hopefully it works out with them too as well.
No, you can feel when you've got the right situation and the right energy with somebody that, you know, that you feel comfortable is going. This is everything for you. I mean, they're going out and selling you, man. So, yeah. I mean, you've got to have that comfortable, you know, vibe with that person and feel that they're going to advance your career.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Was this how'd you come across this particular one? Was it somebody that Coach Smiley? Because last time we talked, you said Coach Smiley was kind of helping you out with this stuff. You had some former teammates and stuff like that. How'd you come across this group?
One of the representatives for the agency lives in Colorado. He's from Colorado, and he's a really good friend of Coach Reed's and Coach Smiley. So that was kind of a close connection there. But they reached out to me and the guy, the representative, he was really persistent with me all season. He came to watch a couple games and he was just kind of and another thing I appreciated about them is they're really honest about where I would start out, and they weren't kind of really selling me dreams, and they were keeping it real for me. So I really appreciated that. And like I said, that's kind of the same thing that Coach Linder, our former coach, and Coach Smiley, they kind of said the same thing to me. They're being really honest with me, being a 140 walk-on that I might not play for a while or I might have to earn my spot, and I really appreciated that about them. So
what's the next step? Do you just kind of, is it you just got to keep yourself in shape, keep working on your game while this goes on, or how involved are you with the process of getting you signed on with a team?
I'm right now. It's just about keeping my body right and just keeping in basketball shape and not only just keeping in basketball shape. It's improving. I'm really taking this process really seriously. I want to. My dad always tells me if I'm gonna do something, I got to go all in and give it my best effort. So I'm gonna try to improve in any way that I can, and hopefully I'll be ready for, because it's gonna be a different type of basketball. It's gonna be way more physical. Way faster, I'm assuming. So, I mean, you're playing with grown men, guys that are making a living for their family. So you're going to have to go out there and compete every day. And I'm excited about it, and I'm going to be prepared for it.
Man, I would love to. I would be so excited to see you get that opportunity. And you feel you're there, don't you? I mean, that you belong in that type of a setting, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, mentally I feel like I belong, but physically not yet. That's why I'm still working on my body and just working on my skills. I just need to get improved in that area. I just don't think my game is quite ready yet. I mean, but that's just me kind of.
Are
just
you
being
your worst
a,
critic?
Criticizing myself. Maybe a lot of people would disagree with me, but I'm just really excited, and I'm really looking forward to working on my game and getting better, because the off season is really fun, where you can just do whatever you want and just work on any aspect of your game. That's the most fun part of the off season. So,
you know, I don't know if I've asked you this, and I may have in the times that you've been in, Matt, but you know, all of us as kids, we're outside and we're playing, we're dribbling the ball, and it's okay. NBA finals, you know, it's game seven. Were you the one who was at the line, or were you imagining you were somebody else? Because there were times where I'd be out there baseball, it's, I'm Nolan Ryan, you know, and then there's times that out there, no, I'm Brian Gary.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Who were you? Were you you, or were you somebody?
A little bit of both.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the times it was me. A lot of the times it was probably Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. I wondered if that was
it. Yeah, he was my favorite player growing up.
Did you have his jersey and stuff?
I kind of had eras of my favorite players as a kid. Like, actually, my very first favorite player was a guy named Ben Wallace from the Detroit.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know why I chose him, but that was when I was really, really little, and I wore the afro and the cornrows just like him.
Did you?
And then, obviously, being from the Aurora and Denver area, then I started liking Carmelo Anthony when he was at
when
he was in Denver. And then I just kind of gravitated towards Kobe. So, I mean, my first really real jerseys were Carmelo Anthony's. I had like four of those. So.
Yeah. That powder blue 15?
Yeah.
So I need you to be honest with me now with this same scenario. Because we all did it. And I was horrible at basketball. Horrible, horrible. I was the short white kid that came in and fouled everybody once I got in the game. But
3 minutes, four fouls.
Oh, yeah. Yep, yeah, that's my stat line, baby. And they were hard fouls when I did it. But we count down, right? You take that final shot. It doesn't go in. Do you say, for some reason, there's more time on the clock? Yeah. Tell me you did. Yeah. Tell me I wasn't the only one.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody does that.
Right?
One more second left.
One more second.
However many shots until you make it.
Until it goes in. They'd add a lot more time for me than they probably did with you, Matt. But, you know, we're talking about the NBA and stuff like that. So Nuggets still your team all the way through and through?
I actually don't really have a team. I'm more of a
player.
I'm more of a player. I like players in the NBA.
So what do you what are your thoughts on Nikola Jokic, man?
I mean, I love Jokic. I mean, it's just kind of crazy to me. Just like, I just like admire just seeing like someone like, you don't picture someone like him being the best player in
the chubby white dude,
the
right?
Most valuable player in the league. You never. You'd picture somebody like LeBron, you know, somebody like that. So, I mean, that just goes to show you how skilled he is.
Is, because I watch his game and I think nobody would coach that. You know, you look at his style, like some of the greatest guitar players are ones that, you know, they did it their own. It's not the way the textbook would show it. Joker it's just fluid. The way he moves and ends up places, it's the most awkward piece of beauty you could see on a court.
Yeah,
don't you think?
It is really awkward.
It is.
But, I mean, it works. So.
Right, because, I mean, you want to shoot like Steph, right? You want to get to the rack like LeBron, right? There's these attributes that you look at with you. You want to hit that, you know, that fall away like Kobe. You want to do all those things. What do you, you don't want to move like Jokic. Like, that's not something that you teach. Is, should he?
There's not a song called Move Like Jokic.
No,
there's
not.
Like Jagger.
That's right. That's right. Is there? Should he be the MVP again this year?
I mean, the Nuggets are the first in the West, so, I mean, you can't really deny that. But, I mean, Joel Embiid's also playing really well.
Yeah.
Giannis is already always up there. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it should be between Jokic and Embiid.
Yeah.
But, I mean, one of those two.
I agree with that. And the one thing, and you mentioned it, that I didn't even think of with Joker. You know, he won back-to-back MVPs mm-hmm. with a team that didn't
right.
do what this team is doing. And the natural progression there, the argument mm-hmm. would be, why should it be MVP? Because the team, you know, an MVP leads their team somewhere. Mm-hmm. And now this is the year where they are on top of the West. So if you were to ever to really give the nod, that would do it. But we don't know where Philly's going to end up. And Joel's been incredible. I don't know that he takes an off night. I mean, you're going to get that 30 out of him mm-hmm. every night. And I just... But I grew up loving the Sixers.
Yeah.
So I was a Dr. J and Daryl mm-hmm. Dawkins and these kind of guys in the, you know, in the old days. I loved that. They were one of my first teams that I was a freak for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Well, and after Steph kind of came into the league, man, it was really guard oriented. And to say right now that there's two centers that are probably the most valuable, I think that's good for basketball. I think it draws that where you don't just have little kids throwing up threes from half yeah. court trying to be like Steph, because That's such a rare talent to have mm-hmm. As well. So did you see the Kendrick Perkins stuff talking about Embiid and Jokic in that argument? Did you follow any of that along, man?
No, I didn't.
No, it was interesting because he came out and implied that Jokic was only getting MVP votes because he was white. He came out and took it into a race thing. Mm-hmm. And obviously we come from different backgrounds, man. And I just was wondering, you know, what your thoughts were on that, because for me it's like, okay, it's fun to debate sports. It's something that unites us, regardless of of race, religion, you know, any of that stuff. Politics is out of it. We can debate. You and I can sit here and yell mm-hmm. at each other forever about who the MVP should be. We'll still shake hands and go out the other way.
Yeah.
But when you bring something like this in there and there's not a whole lot of proof behind it or anything mm-hmm. like that, I think that could be dangerous. So I just was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's things in society that's clearly that racism has a role in, and then there's things that a lot of people just kind of reach for, and it like you said, sports is designed to unite us, and I mean, just saying something like that, I don't know if that's the best thing to say. That's doing the opposite of what the whole point of the NBA is. It's the National Basketball Association. It allows any type of race, any type of international people all around the world to play. So, I mean, it kind of just goes against the whole point of the NBA. So, I mean, I don't think that's it's definitely not a situation where racism is present in. I mean, it's just a bunch of guys going out there and playing basketball. At the end of the day, it's a sport. There is a lot of aspects of the media and the fan base that comes in that could possibly bring stuff like that in. But in this situation, I don't think that's happening for sure.
I love that response, because there are millions of places where you can point the finger yeah. and say that comes into play.
And it's important mm-hmm. that that's where we point that finger, not into areas that it's
where
not.
It
because it's
yeah.
not. It's kind of the exactly. boy who cried wolf, right? You know, mm-hmm. we need to be highlighting the areas that this is actually taking place. And it certainly is prevalent in our society. And that's something that we all need to help to stomp out. And so when Kendrick Perkins came on and said that, man, I just shook my head. I was like, that's irresponsible. It's taking this argument into a dangerous place. Yeah. And like you said, the NBA is all about everybody, and I think the NBA does a really good job with its diversity.
I think they've done better than anybody.
Yeah,
the NBA has been a shining example.
Yeah.
Of that,
I agree completely.
Yeah,
9:19 the time. Can you stick around for just a couple more minutes?
Oh,
is that good? 9:19. Let's get a break. We'll wrap it up next with Matt Johnson here. This segment presented by Mark Larson, State Farm Insurance, on North Dakota's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Night 23 the time. Welcome back in. We're talking with Matt Johnson, former guard for the UNC Bears here, covering a lot of stuff, man. I saw FYP drop some new merch. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the designs, man. It's been a blast. I started following it on Instagram and seeing those things, man. I do like it. There's a couple things I need to take the time and get onto your website and go buy some of the stuff, because you got some really cool designs, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting better and better every day. I mean, me and my friend do all the designing, and we have absolutely no experience in graphic design. So, I mean, but it's kind of cool. I mean, a lot of the stuff is improving. We're just getting better at it. It's fun because it's almost becoming a hobby. You know, especially after the season, there's not a lot of time on my hands. So I'm kind of learning how to use some of those.
So how do you
apps and stuff?
How do you pick what the design's going to be? I mean, is it just something that pops in your head? You just doodle? How's that work?
I mean, yeah, pretty much. I don't doodle because I don't draw.
Yeah.
So I think it's just something in my head, and I just try to get it on the screen, I guess. I mean, inspiration from other shirts that I like to wear, me personally. So, yeah, I mean.
Have you always been a clothes person? Are you a fashion type of guy?
Would others say you're
a fashion guy?
Not really. I mean, growing up, I've always been kind of a little bit of a sneakerhead. I have a lot of shoes, but I mean, when it comes to fashion, I don't really do that. But I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Okay, let's go shoes. What is your favorite pair of shoes, and what is your pair of shoes that is probably worth the most money?
That's a really good question.
See, I've got my favorite pair. I've got some purple Air Jordans that I just love because they're obnoxiously purple. And I got them many years ago, but those, I have kept them in the box. I only take them out when I wear them, and then they go right back in. I've got a lot of my closet is full of boxes because I don't take them out of there. They're going to stay in the box, so I keep them in condition. Do you take good care of yours, or do you wear the hell out of them?
Yeah, I know. I take good care of mine. A lot of some of my shoes I haven't even worn yet, which is kind of bad. But I mean, I should probably wear them. But I'm hitting my favorite shoe. I have so many.
This guy sits here and talks to us about serious stuff like race and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and then
I don't know.
Now it's shoes, man. You got them hung up here.
I got so many, it's hard to pick a favorite. You love all your kids equally?
No, I love a little some kids more. Okay. That's a good question. I mean, I have this, it's called a DMP pack from Jordan. It has two pairs of shoes in it. And there's a pair of 14s. They're black and gold.
Yeah.
And I really like those. Those are my favorite.
Have you broke them out, or have they stayed in the box?
No, I broke them out a couple times.
Did you?
Only like two times.
Special occasions, man.
Yeah.
But as we're talking about, if you haven't heard, Matt is a part of FYP Apparel. FYP Apparel. FYPApparel.myshopify.com. That is FYPApparel.myshopify.com. Go check out some of the clothing they've got on there. I wanted to talk to you about Andrew Alirez real quick, the national champion from UNC. That had to be pretty cool for you guys to see. Did you guys cross paths at all during your time at UNC?
No, actually, I've never really talked to him personally. But I mean, what he did was just like complete. It was phenomenal. I mean, I've never really seen anybody dominate a sport like he does. So I mean, it's kind of crazy to see that for him to bring that to UNC just. A national championship.
It's unbelievable.
That's just, yeah, that's something that doesn't. That's a person that doesn't come along in a lifetime. So
yeah, no, I mean, undefeated again. But he was on with Brady Hole from the Hole Show, and he was talking that, you know, he ate the same thing every morning for breakfast. Like those wrestlers, dude. I don't know how they do it. That's just insane. I don't like cutting of the weight and everything. It's crazy. But he said out, you know, after a meet or something, he'll go and eat. And the first thing he did was go to Raising Cane's after he got done winning the national title and ate a couple of meals from there. I was wondering with like your diet and stuff like that when you're in season, man. How close do you watch it? When you get out of season, do you let yourself splurge just a little bit?
Well, actually, it's kind of ironic because me and one of my teammates, we've actually been looking to improve our bodies a lot more, and we've been taking our diet like really, really serious. So we just kind of started doing like, it's kind of funny that Andrew says that because we've been eating the same things. Like we've been meal prepping a lot more.
Really?
Yeah. And we've been eating the same thing for the last, we started this week for workouts and stuff. So the last 3 days we've been eating the same thing.
Now you know how your dog feels.
Right. I'm not going to lie. It's getting hard. I mean, I figure if we get through the first week, we'll get used to it.
Yeah.
We've allowed ourselves one cheat meal, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. It's Saturday, so I mean, it's just going to make whatever we get taste so much better. So.
Yeah, Andrew was talking about that on air, and I'm in my office just pounding a double Western cheeseburger from Carl's Jr. I'm like, yeah, I couldn't do that. And I cried a little bit when he's saying what he ate. It's like, it's just insane, man. It's insane what these
dedication.
Athletes put there. It is, for sure. Matt, our last show will be next week, so we're looking forward to that, man, and appreciate it. Again, go check out FYP Apparel on Instagram and on Twitter. But Matt, really appreciate the conversations, man.
Yep, sure. Thank you.
All right. Good to have you, Matt.
Big thanks to Mark Larson, State Farm Insurance, as well, for making these segments happen every single Thursday, 9:29. It's Good Morning NoCo on North Dakota's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. the time. Really like talking with Matt Johnson, Brian, and I was really intrigued by what he had to say about the Nikola Jokic and Kendrick Perkins thing, man. I thought that was interesting perspective coming from Matt. Of course, we're different races, and I wanted to see what his thought process was on it. And it was really good. It was a really good conversation with him. And
every time we get to talk to him, he is. But he's open to talk to about anything right. that we throw at him, which I love.
And he spoke kind of about how that was a dangerous thing, too. So I want to talk a little bit about that, talk about where the Nuggets are sitting. Brady Hull, host of The Hull Show, joins us next. But first, bottom of the hour, news and weather center. I was thinking maybe we could...
Yeah,
burrito in my mustache. I don't know what's going on there. Welcome back in. It's Good Morning NoCo.
Our guy, Tommy.
I was going to say,
Tom, don't call me Tommy Shaw.
I was thinking about just maybe taking this segment off and just eating our burritos, but I got it done in the 4-minute window that we had there.
That's nice. I didn't dive in yet.
The burrito did not stand a chance.
No.
You ate it like you were mad at it.
He swallowed it like a Tylenol.
Yeah.
I don't know that he chewed.
I don't think he did chew.
I don't either. No. Delicious burrito. Tom, don't call me Tommy Shaw, the Greeley Chamber Ambassador of the Year, dropping off some burritos for the
ambassador of the year.
Yes.
He's just always awesome.
Is that bribery, though?
Doesn't matter how you get there.
That is true.
Just as long as you get there.
That is true. Were you guys making fun of me for how fast I ate that burrito, though, man?
Yeah, that was pretty quick.
Why? It was impressive.
I cook and eat a Jimmy Dean in a segment every single morning.
Well, I know that. In radio, you work with commercial breaks.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get a lot. You know what you can do in 4 minutes.
You can get a lot done in 4 minutes.
That's what I say. But anyway.
Cuddle afterward.
Yeah.
3 minutes of cuddling.
Oh, whoa.
Boom, boom. That was Tanner Schwint. Hey, now, you're going to be calling baseball action tonight.
Yep.
I'm just going to give you a little piece of information. All right? It's University of Northridge.
Yeah,
all right? This is your debut for the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You're going to need information.
Yeah. Correct.
Right? I'm just going to help you a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Do you know who threw the very first no-hitter in Northridge High School history?
I am going to say that it was Nick Flaw.
It was my son.
I thought so.
Awesome. So there you go. So
really?
You can break that. Yeah. He was the very first no-hitter for Northridge.
Wow.
He was a dynamite baseball player.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it, and that I will definitely be dropping that tonight. But I'm looking forward to it. Baseball is my number one sport, and unfortunately here in the state, you know, the Rockies don't give us.
Yeah,
a whole
you
lot
watch some
say.
Good baseball.
Yeah, I get to watch some good baseball take place,
you know,
and broadcast it. So I'm really looking forward to that. Mike Dance is going to come out and be on the call with me as well. Him and Bruce will be jumping in throughout the year on the call. So excited about that. But this was our first A1 Organics game of the week vote that we put out there, and over 200 votes on there and between the social media platforms, and I think it was like 93% for University of Northridge. So University showed up on this one, so love to see it. That's going to be fun this afternoon, so we hope you join us The Steamway Floor to Ceiling pregame show at 3:30 with the J9 Agency's first pitch at 4 o'clock. All right, last night the Denver Nuggets were back in action. I thought that was a very meaningful game for them with the Grizzlies getting Ja back and them only being 3.5 games back and playing Houston. You knew that the Grizzlies are going to put some wins together here, and a little worrisome in the first half of that game at least.
Yeah, it felt a lot like the games during this bad stretch, you know, and Washington got up by like 6 at one point. So it felt like it was going to be one of those bad games, but the Joker turned it on. He went nuts in the second half.
I actually had the confidence that was going to happen in the second half. I'm with you, though. It had that familiar feel that we felt the last week or so. But they turned it around, and when you look at the box score, that's what I like to see at the end of a game, and you see how spread out the scoring was among your main four. KCP's been a mystery to me all year long. Every time I count on him to get me a three, he does it, and I'm talking FanDuel aspect. But I know what he brings defensively onto the court is what makes him, you know, who he is.
Yeah.
But seeing Porter hitting from three, seeing Jamal start flirting with that he should be getting us about 20 every night, which he's right around. Joker right around where he should be, right around that triple devil every time with points in right around 20. This was the type of Nugget performance, score-wise and player distribution-wise, the way they spread the ball around, that I like to see.
Yeah, and you're still seeing a team kind of play down to their opponent, which bodes well, I think, for this next stretch coming up, because these are all playoff teams now.
Right.
These are all legitimate. Some of them are legitimate contenders.
Scares the hell out of me, to be honest with you.
They've done well with it.
You're
going to
have to do it anyway.
You're going
to have to do it in the playoffs, so you might as well get a sample of that in this regular season.
But this is why these guys have given me so much crap, because I've been hitting that panic button on the Nuggets, because you're losing to bad teams. And all of a sudden...
Well, luckily, bad teams aren't in the playoffs.
Eight-game lead has been shrunk down to 3.5, and Memphis's schedule the rest of the way is really easy.
Yeah.
And the Nuggets is the exact opposite. So that's what scares me a little bit.
But does it matter?
The number
does
one
the
seed?
One seed
100%.
Matter? Why?
Because look at the record difference between when they're playing on the road and when they're playing at home. So if it comes down to a 7-game series in the Western Conference Finals, they've got a hell of a lot better opportunity to win that game in Denver than they do anywhere
else.
They're
going to finish in the top three. So,
but if those teams are there in the finals for in the Western Conference Finals for a trip to the finals, and it comes down to Game 7, it needs to be in Denver.
I think they need to win the West. You could say, yeah, you could be anywhere from a 1-3, but they had such a big lead that if they are not the one going into the playoffs, that means they hit some crap that they're still in. This team should not finish anywhere but one.
I tend to agree.
Yeah, I do agree, but.
You don't think it's that big of a deal?
I guess it is when it comes down to the Western Conference Finals, if you can get in there.
Right. Because they're 30-6 at home and 19-18 on the road. So that's where I look at. I've got more questions about Michael Malone after last night. And I just want to pose these to you guys. I haven't got a chance to talk about it yet. But he comes out and says, Coach Malone on that third quarter, quote unquote, we cared. And so if they haven't been caring, that's alarming. And then Coach, this is coming from Katie Wingy, who's a great guest on your program quite often from Altitude TV. Coach Malone gave Jamal Murray a lot of credit for being a leader in the Nuggets win. Malone said Murray walked off at halftime and was talking about how the Nuggets were just going through the motions that this Denver team responded. That could be true, but in my opinion, watching these games, the biggest one who's been going through the motions has been Jamal Murray, because he's been on one of his little...
Yeah, nine points in the first quarter and then just really
he's been
silent.
On one of these downhill slides. So why are you praising the guy that he... In my opinion, he's been one of the main reasons the Nuggets went on the skid was because after he had that huge Memphis game where he came out and closed it out himself, he just didn't care the next couple of weeks. And I think I just don't like praising the guy for saying that when he's been the one, in my opinion, the most guilty of just going through the motions.
Aaron Gordon, too, though. I mean, Aaron Gordon, I don't think, you know, he gets... In crunch time, I think defensively he picks it up a little bit, but he's been kind of going through those motions too. There's been a few of those guys that have done that. It just hasn't been the best basketball we've seen from this team in the last 2 weeks.
Does this come down to what I feel about most sports, is that it's just too long of a regular season?
It's kind of like we're coasting at this point, and it's part of the game.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be that way. We see it in baseball. I feel there's too many baseball games. Mm-hmm. And in the NBA, 82, I think you can figure it out before that. And if a season is so long that you can wait to kick it on until the end, or you can take this time off, it's too long.
Yeah, I think 72 would be great, but you won't get owners to sign off.
Oh, no, it'll never happen.
They'll never change it because the money's there.
Right.
But, yeah, I agree. It's 82 games. You're going to see 10 to 15 games that are just, that's not the team that you're used to seeing. That's just how it's going
to
be.
Well, but even Nikola Jokic came out and said there's never been a team good enough just to flip that switch, right? Because that question got asked, are you guys flipping it?
Well, LeBron did that.
He came out and said, you know, there's not a team, in what Jokic said, there's not a team that can switch that. We're not good enough for that. That's what raises the alarm for me as well, is because you got to now. There's got to be a switch that gets flipped here, because you can't play like this in the Western Conference playoffs. I know the Western Conference is down from years past, but you play like they have been in the last couple of weeks, you're out in the first round.
They won three of the last four. Boom.
Sounds kind of wonderful.
Yep.
Sounds really good.
You two are the spin doctors of a century over there.
No, we didn't make anything up. That was all facts.
Okay, those are facts. What about the last
facts?
10?
What about the 6 and 5 over the last 11?
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. It's still, we're still not seeing the best version.
What have you done for me lately?
Yeah,
you're
Tanner.
You're probably going to brag about the sales you had last week. You know,
those don't count anymore,
that
man.
That doesn't count. Silly man.
We live in the now.
Silly man.
We live in the now.
Where's your level of concern with this team going into the playoffs? Let's give 1 to 10. Where's your level
10
of concern?
10 being like, ah.
Yeah.
And 1 being like, yeah,
we got this.
Five. Yeah.
He's like, I'm a little concerned. But
I'm a little concerned.
A little not concerned.
But I'm not that concerned. I don't feel, I was a 1 or 2 throughout all of the season. So it's definitely dipped. But no, I still feel pretty good about it. Golden State's the one that scares me. That's the team that scares me. You know,
overall, in all the Western Conference? Or are you talking about like a possible first round?
In the Western Conference.
Oh, I don't.
Golden State doesn't scare you?
Golden State doesn't scare
you. The championship they won last year didn't scare you?
They're the only one that bothers me.
Yeah. Who bothers
because
you more than Golden State?
Phoenix, who?
When
Curry starts hitting and when Clay hit, it's a different level, and they can do things that not another team can do.
Yeah. Clay hasn't been right all year. They're horrible on the road. And if you do get them, you're going to have home court advantage on that. I'm not worried about Golden State.
You could take that clip right there. That's exactly what people said last year. Clay hasn't been right all year. They're horrible on the road. Bam, championship.
You talk about a team that knows
how to turn it on when they get in the playoffs? That's the team.
They won four
of these things. They know how to do it.
They know how to do it, for sure. And that is the only part, the only advantage I think they have.
Phoenix scares you more than Golden State.
You give me a healthy Kevin Durant,
okay,
healthy
great.
Chris
Good luck
Paul,
finding that.
And healthy Devin Booker.
He broke his ankle warming up,
that was
bro.
Funny.
I mean, he's outside pulling his sweatpants off of his shorts, and I fell down. Broke my knee.
No,
I'm out.
It's true. I was having some ramen and dislocated my shoulder.
All my teeth fell out.
Yeah.
Angel, what's your level of concern on a scale of 1 to 10? Yes, if he's falling apart like that, that worries me for him. No. What's your scale of concern on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm about 3.5. My only concern is the bench. That's my only thing, but I think getting Zeke Nnaji back has changed their mentality a little bit because the rotations are just a little bit different now.
The scale, when Angel's a 3.5 on a scale of 1 to 10, that's like a 9 for most people.
You're
too.
Like a 39.
No, where are you at, Brian?
My level of concern, concerned about what?
About this team, because we've said this
not
should be
a title?
The year about not at least making the finals.
Oh, they'll win the Western Conference.
So your level like of concerns of?
I'm totally solid on that. Okay, we'll go a 2.
Yeah. A 2. That's 2 for me.
It's 2 for Brian.
I'm gonna go a solid deuce on that one. And
you're
I'm
a 10?
Go
Come not, April, it's going to be the Rockies are going to win the.
I'm not a 10
in the playoffs.
I'm
but
not
the
a
Nuggets, the number one seed. Oh, everybody freak out!
I'm not a 10. I am.
I'd say you're a 10 in my heart.
Thanks, buddy.
You squint a little bit.
That mustache almost. If you squint a little bit, it's like Selleck.
You almost
here.
Don't see the mustache.
That'll do it for me. Anybody hiring out there?
What are you, a nine?
I would say I'm probably an eight right now with this team. And the main concerns are, what Jamal Murray are you going to get for me? Because I get Aaron Gordon's been going through the motions too, but you're not banking on Aaron Gordon being one of your top two players. You've got Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray. Those are your top three that you have to have. I'm not concerned about Jokic at all. After that one game, I believe Chicago. It was Chicago, where he's just firing up threes for no reason.
That game.
It's horrible.
That wasn't him. That was a completely
That was his brother.
I don't know.
That was one of his brothers out there.
I think that was him seeing everybody else do nothing. He's like, okay, I'll jump in.
My thought on that game was Joker's mentality was, we're not going to win this game, so let's just see if I can make all of these, because if I do, then we'll win the game. But if I don't, whatever, we're moving. It's weird to see it that way.
So Jamal worries me. That's one of them. And my second biggest worry with this team is the head coach in Michael Malone. He has not proven to get there. He has not won a lot in the playoffs. And I get, this hasn't been healthy. Enough of that BS. It's time to go. And the fact that he let his team for 2 weeks go through the motions is really concerning to me. Let's go to the J9 Agency's text line. I think the level of concern should be more on Tanner driving a Ford. I mean, okay, shut up, Unc. We get it. You don't like Fords. What's the level of concern? I'm at an 8. I'm worried about Jamal and I'm worried about Michael Malone. The bench doesn't matter as much in the playoffs, in my opinion. It's got to be on your stars and those top three. Michael Porter Jr. has been playing incredible basketball, and with him doing that, if Murray can be even a 17-8-5 guy last night, that's what you need from him. Can he do it consistently? He hasn't proven it since the bubble that he can do this, and the bubble doesn't count.
Well, because he was he was hurt.
Yeah.
And now he's back this year.
And it's been the same roller coaster, man. It's been because it caught me at, hey, they should trade him when he's all down low. And I was wrong on that. And then he gets all high. I'm like, wow, and this is incredible.
Jamal,
and now he's back down low again.
In danger, I really believe, of just being a guy in the NBA. Not a star, not an all-star. He's just a guy.
Yeah.
And that's probably the way his career is going to go, unless something really switches for him come these playoffs.
Can Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets win an NBA Finals with Jokic and three guys around him?
I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. That was well done.
Porter, I don't think, is just a guy.
No,
I don't think he is either. And I don't think Gordon's just a guy either. I mean, at the beginning of the year, he was crunching.
Yeah,
he was an absolute beast. And I think he can flip that on. He's a physical specimen. He can be an absolute beast under the boards. And he can get you 10 to 15 easily a night.
He's got to get back to that guy that he said he was going to be at the end of the playoffs last year, that he has been for 70% of the season. He's got to be that guy. I don't care if I never see him shoot a three-pointer again.
Right.
I don't care if he makes it.
They were leaving him wide open.
Just to not see him do that again.
Yeah, I'd rather not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just don't.
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 You're wide open? Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm not
closer to the rim.
Just don't do it. You're not going to see me hurdle.
No.
You know, just don't.
I'd like to see that, though.
I'd like
to see you hurdle. I'd like to see you hurdle. I'm with you. Every time you shoot a three,
is getting through the parking lot where they have those things in front of the spot that stop you from going forward. That's a hurdle. All right. Not easy. I've seen us all trip over him. You guys saw me fall down
from?
Right outside the Rio. I slipped that one time when we were walking.
Was I with you?
So,
I wasn't with you.
You weren't?
No.
There was somebody who saw it. I know you were there.
I think my fiance was there.
Did you go down?
Yeah.
Oh, I went. Oh, I went. And did I feel a hand reaching for me? No, I felt giggles and air moving from people laughing around me. Oh, yeah.
It's like when Michael falls in the koi pond, Jim just stands back.
Totally just pulled away.
Oh, no, I went. Feet out. It's a cartoon fall. Yeah, I was down. He's down. Give him room.
Did people around you, like, oh, this poor man.
Scattered.
Oh.
They scattered.
Oh,
they
my God.
Brought out their cameras. Push him back.
Top five.
Push him in the water.
Top five funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
Well, Tanner, physical humor. Yeah. You could die.
I make sure you're okay.
No.
I instantly giggle.
You remember the bookshelf almost fell on me here?
Yes.
Yeah, you just died.
No.
I almost died. But Tanner's laughing.
I instantly giggle. I can't control it. I instantly giggle when somebody falls. I make sure you're okay, and then I can't control it. Then it's just like, that was the funniest crap I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, don't fall around Tanner. No. Don't even think about falling, because he will laugh at you and make fun of you.
Both of those incidents, very funny things. 9:54, stick around. We got 3 minutes left. It's Good Morning NoCo. Alrighty then. Near Broke texting, and he was our winner of the Wheel of Meat last week that's coming up tomorrow.
Oh, awesome.
And sending in some pictures of all the fresh-cut meat at the Merc ready for tomorrow. He said, I'm ready. Well, you can't win tomorrow, Near Broke. You got to wait another month before you get back in this thing. But appreciate you sending those in. Noob, we were talking our Happy Life Gardens poll question. What's the worst intersection in northern Colorado? Noob said Highway 85 and 22nd, especially when that new gas station goes in. Appreciate all the responses on that. We certainly do have some dangerous roads up here with these intersections.
I don't know if it's an intersection, but in Timnath, because I'm a Timnathian, the Walmart.
Yes. Oh, that's what Miles Bloomhart said is the worst one.
Terrible. I get anxiety going in there.
That's an awful one.
Because my child's obsessed with Wendy's Nuggets, so we pull in and go to Wendy's, and if you try to turn left out of there, good luck.
No.
Good luck. You know?
No, that's a terrible one.
Take your life in your own hands.
It's what?
You take your life into your own hands.
There's a lot of those around here. Hands.
Yeah, there are, but so... we talked a lot about the Nuggets quickly. We just have a couple of minutes. The Avalanche, you had a great interview with Kyle Fredrickson the other day. Are you worried about them without getting Landy back? They lose to the Pittsburgh Penguins last night, 5-2. Or do
I
you
got
not
my prediction wrong, Angel?
Do you not have as much concern about the Avs?
I don't know why, but Jared Bednar, I just trust that coach. That's I trust this team. Georgiev has been really good for most of the season. So there's my hockey knowledge. I'm not worried about the Avs. I don't know if they're winning the Stanley Cup, but I don't think those are the expectations now.
They're the best team. They still get the second best odds to do it. With everything they've gone through, that's just how deep this team is. They're by far the best team in the Western Conference. So if they can get through the West, and then, you know, you never know what happens.
Yeah.
The great hockey insight. I appreciate
Thanks.
It. Whole show coming up 11-2 today. What do you got on tap?
That's it. Hockey.
That's hockey.
Right, 3 hours of hockey.
It's going to be great. The puck stops here.
Angel and I try to figure out what exactly is icing.
When you figure that out, can you let me know?
I just thought it was something that goes on a cake for the longest time. It's a hockey thing.
How do they rule whether it's icing or not? That's what I know what icing is. That's just clearing it to give yourself a competitive advantage, which is against the rules. But how do they determine whether you can get back to it or not?
That's what we're going
to
find out today.
More on the whole show, 11-2. Coach Speak coming up. I'll be sticking in here to talk with Bruce about the matchup tonight. I'll have that call for you, 3:30 pregame, 4 o'clock first pitch. We'll be back at it on a Habajiba Friday. Wheel of Meat coming up. We'll talk with Jerry Schimmel as well. Cody Wilson back in here on Friday. All right, I think that'll do it for us. For Angel Padilla, for Brian Gary, watch that slippery spot when you're walking out of the Rio next
Thank
time.
You.
I am Tanner Schmidt. We love you, Northern Colorado. We'll talk to you tomorrow.